know, like, how a Big Bang were to happen, right? Like, if it were to happen.
The requirements. The requirements? We don't know what makes a Big Bang happen, but we can see it happening. So we know the Big Bang is a thing that happens as much as we know erosion is a thing that happens.
Well, I could have sworn that the Big Bang requires a vacuum and dark matter.
We don't know what makes the universe expand like it does. What made it start happening, when it started happening. We don't know that yet. We have, there are people working on it, but we don't really know.
I could have swore I read something about it and, you know, being an incredibly hot, dense state.
Yeah, that's accurate, but that's not what that's not what makes a Big Bang happen. That's a description of the Big Bang. Somebody asks you, hey, there's this thing. How did the thing happen? And the only information you have is information like the properties of the thing, then you don't know how it happened.
Interesting.
Yes.
So we don't know how it could happen, but it happened.
I don't know if there's all kinds of things that I don't know how they happened, but we know they happened. This literally happens to us all the time, every day. Like, I don't know, go somewhere, look at a building. You're like, man, how'd they make that? Well, I don't know. But I mean, like, you know, somebody made it. It didn't just grow like that.
Yeah. We could see pretty far into space, wouldn't you think?
Billions of light years.
Yeah, and we've never seen a Big Bang happen, because if one were to happen, it were to happen.
It's currently happening.
Have we really seen it, though?
It's currently happening. So, yeah, the only reason we know about it is because we can see it. It's still banging. There are some who say there are no videos of the Earth banging. But that's irrelevant.
The Earth banging. That's funny.
What did you want to talk about?
Oh, just the Big Bang. I don't think it's a fact. I mean, if we've never seen one actually happen.
It's still happening. And we do see it. So everywhere we look, the universe is expanding. That's what the Big Bang is.
What would it look like, though? Just the universe expanding, that's it?
When things move well, yeah, I mean, I could explain to you how we figured that out, but yeah, that's what you just said, yes.
Yeah, because when I hear about the Big Bang, it's almost like an explosion, kind of.
No, admittedly, the name isn't really all that good, but no, the universe, everywhere we look, it's expanding. That's the Big Bang.
So it's more of like an event that is currently happening and will forever be happening.
We don't know if it'll forever be happening. There's actually some interesting data that suggests that the universe may contract after tens, hundreds, billions of years, a trillion years or something like that. There's actually some evidence that gravity's winning over expansion, but...
Do you think it will never stop?
I don't know.
Well, if the universe is infinite, right? It's almost like, how could it?
I don't really understand exactly what you're getting at. How could it stop? I mean, yeah. whatever's causing the expansion, we don't exactly know yet. If that's an actual force or property of the universe, it can be counterbalanced, or it can lose energy. That literally happens. And then the universe, all the material of the universe could collapse back in on itself. Or it won't do that. The universe will just go to heat death. Or maybe it'll expand so much that it actually tears a hole in the fabric of space-time, effectively kind of turning the universe inside out. And then that would just create essentially another Big Bang, but destroy the observable universe that we see. Any of those things and a few others could happen. There's a cool book called The End of Everything by Katie Mack, if you want to read it.
Yeah, I might check it out. I've been getting really into reading. But the whole thing about evolution, do you believe that we can predict evolution?
Yeah, we have before. Scientists have set up experiments. Scientists have done natural experiments and tightly controlled lab experiments with predicted and planned outcomes that end up happening, like creating a multicellular organism out of a unicellular organism. And we took some lizards and we put them on a different island. And the island has completely different climate and organisms on it. So the lizards, they dramatically changed their diet and their lifestyle. And they changed in ways that you would expect. They started eating plants instead of bugs. And have you ever, this is going to sound like a weird question. Have you ever gutted a deer or watched videos of like pigs or cows being butchered?
Yeah, I've gutted a deer before, yeah.
So you know how their large intestine, it's like grayish green and it's fucking huge. It's like bloated.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Yeah, that's called a cecum. So because they eat because they eat plants, their large intestine has these valves in it that can essentially kind of close off parts of their large intestine. And that lets the plants digest, because plants take a really long time to break down the organic material in them. So they have bacteria in their gut that do that, but it's a very slow process. So carnivores don't have that. By comparison, carnivores have, now I don't remember if carnivores have longer or shorter small intestines. I think they have longer small intestines, but their large intestine doesn't really, it doesn't have those features, because we have enzymes that naturally break down animal matter pretty well. But when the bugs started eating plants, so their large intestines started developing the beginning stages of it, like making chambers, in a sense, in their large intestine to break down the plant matter.
Yeah. What do you think of like what humans will look like in 100 years if they were gaming all day? Have you seen the study they did on that where they predicted what evolution will do to them?
Is it like it changes our spine and our fingers and like we get the head dent or something like that?
Yeah, they look like humanoid dinosaurs almost.
Yeah, I think that's stupid, because there's no indication that any of that stuff would actually... that's a Lamarckian view. Lamarckism is the idea that organisms change because what they do in their day-to-day lives, their bodies adapt to what they do in their day-to-day lives. And that's not the case. Darwinian evolution is that the random variation, or the variation that causes our traits has to be heritable. And so in order for it to be subject to being modified by evolution, it has to play some role in reproduction and survival. And there's no good reason to think that the human body conforming to chairs or whatever else is a modern part of our lives would actually make us better at reproducing or anything like that. So now, I mean, like, if you ask me, like, what's likely for us to like change about humans, I don't know, probably bigger tits and bigger ass, because of how much social media and everything else puts pressure on, oh, that's desirable. Okay. That actually would change mate selection. Gross way to talk about human beings, but we are animals after all. So yeah, that could, I don't know. Maybe tits and asses will get bigger over time. Who knows? I mean, I'm pretty sure we already know that they are, but I guess we'll see.
Well, I just think it's weird how like very small changes can affect future evolution humanity wise. It's almost like it's fake. I mean, how could we look like humanoid dinosaurs if our ancestors were sitting in chairs gaming all day? It's just weird to me.
Wait, what? I Say that again.
Yeah, so the study they brought up was of what it would do to us if all of us were sitting in chairs gaming all day. And it was like a humanoid dinosaur guy.
I really doubt that this was an actual study. I doubt that this was an academic paper.
Yeah, I can look it up and give you a source. I'm pretty sure it was National Geographic anyways.
Oh, it was not National Geographic. I've been subscribed to their magazine for 11 years, and that's not in any of the issues. Now, they do have a website too, but what humans will look like in 100 years gaming. Oh. What gamer bodies will look like in the future. So this is a website called it's a website called Temple of the Geek. Let's see.
That might not be a good source.
Well, yeah, but it might be referencing the same thing. Is it? Oh shit, I clicked on an ad for dinosaur toys. Is this what you're talking about?
It's not what I'm talking about, but
I mean, it sounds like what you were talking about, or it sounds looks like what you're talking about. I don't know.
Yeah, no, he doesn't have webbed feet or anything.
Swollen ankles.
Yeah, that's horrid.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I mean,
I don't think we'll look like that. I think that's a little too far.
Yeah, no, none of this stuff about video games, I think, has any chance of changing what our bodies are going to look like.
So you don't think, like, small changes can affect it? Even if it is sitting in chairs all day?
No, because in order for it to be hereditary, it has to go through the entire population and make a big difference in reproduction. And I don't see how us conforming to ergonomically fit our furniture would actually happen. Instead, I think we're going to keep creating furniture that ergonomically fits us.
Okay. So yeah. Like, what if we adapted to that though?
Adaptation is not a thing that happens. Adaptation is a description of the downstream effects after evolution has already taken place. And I've already said twice why I don't think any of this has a shot in hell of actually changing our biology from an evolutionary standpoint.
Okay. So you think like that picture you just saw of that overweight guy, you think that's like some BS, right? Like
that's not going to happen. Wally's not going to happen. I mean, Wally could happen in the sense that like we would all just get fat and be dependent on scooters and technology, but that's just something that can happen to you after you're born. They're not born fat, and they're not born with a body that fits a scooter. We invent things to ergonomically fit our bodies, and you can gain weight over time. It's actually not that hard to do. So,
yeah.
Plus, gamers don't procreate, so. Gamers, if there's any group of people that are going to change the population, it ain't going to be gamers. It's going to be religious people.
Yeah, I just looked up what humans will look like in 100 years, and it's pretty horrifying when you go to images. These might not be credible sources. I'm not sure.
I would bet that they're not. What humans Strange will look like hole. In 100 years, Google images. Yeah, I just keep seeing the exact same thing. Yeah, it's even got the forehead dent.
You see the guy with the gills?
You said this isn't what you were talking about, but I'm pretty sure this is what you were talking about. He's got the forehead dent.
Well, does he have webbed feet? Because the guy I saw had webbed feet.
I don't know why the hell he would have webbed feet, but yeah, this is just literally some stupid, like, it's like basically satirical or... Well, yeah, we'll just go with satirical.
Hmm. And then it says like our backs will bend because like the phones, we're on phones all day. So we're just looking down at phones and our back is just denting for future generations.
Yeah, again, I don't think that that would actually make any difference in your ability to find a lady to make babies with.
What does that have to do with it?
Because in order for populations to change through evolution, the things that would change have to affect their ability to reproduce. And if it doesn't, then it's not the kind of thing that would get modified through evolution. But anyways, I don't want to talk about this speculative what will humans look like in 100 years thing. We can talk about evolution some more, but just in a different, from a different angle. So is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
I mean, no. I mean, if it's, you know, because it is just a theory, you know, so it's like,
yes,
you know,
it is scientifically proven. That's how it became a theory.
Okay. Well, it was nice talking. I'll let someone else come up here. God.
Did you know there's a legal loophole that allows private companies to employ slaves in the United States? That Pavlov never rang bells in his dog experiments? And that Disney intentionally massacred a bunch of real animals for one of its films? I've compiled hundreds of bits of information like that in Facts That Aren't True. Get your signed copy by going to the link in the description. Yeah, okay, I need to ask you about this, though. So, because I appreciate it, but I actually don't get it. Because, like, if humans evolved, then there just never was an Adam and an Eve. And so is the Catholic perspective that, well, yeah, humans evolved, but God revealed himself to two people named Adam and Eve? Because there has to be a fall, because otherwise there's no original sin, and there's no reason for Jesus to have ever existed. So this is the thing where and maybe you've never looked super deep into it. When I was a Christian, I didn't look super deep into very much either. I went to church on Sundays, and then I was a kid the other 6 days of the week. So,
yeah. No, for us Catholics, it's more like, of course humans evolved, but like Adam and Eve are the first humans that have evolved, that came to be. And
well, in the same evolution time, doesn't work that way.
But the first things that are human-like, and of course with them,
it doesn't work that way either, because
humans simultaneously also evolved.
So Adam and Eve can't be the first two human beings, because the only way that could actually work in evolution is you have a big population of a whole bunch of animals, and they would have been proto-human Homo sapiens ancestors, and you'd have to have two different females of that species, or the same female of whatever species that is, simultaneously give birth to two completely different and fully modern humans. That just is not how that process works.
But still, there'd have to be a point where there are the first group of modern humans, right?
No. So you should think of it like language. Was it the case that one day English as we understand it just started existing? Nope. Literally just a microscopic fraction of the language changes every generation. And from one generation to the next, everybody can always talk to each other. But when you compare one generation to 10,000 generations later, they can't talk to each other. Even though every single generation from the beginning to the end of that, they could talk to each other. With genetics and populations and species identity, that's exactly how it works. It's just instead of the words, think of individual pieces of the DNA. Instead of species, just think of the, or instead of the language, think of the species itself.
Yeah, but still, it's like 200 years ago, someone talking in English, you could probably still understand them fairly well, right?
Yeah, but not 1,000 years ago. You wouldn't be able to understand them at all. And 2,000 years ago, there wasn't even old archaic English. There was just whatever proto-Germanic language it was.
Yeah. And it's kind of the same with humans, right? So the first humans, in quotes, are not biologically the same as us.
Well, the first Homo sapiens, well, it depends what you mean by human, because human is actually a kind, it's our genus. There have been many humans, which is the Homo part of our name, Homo sapiens. There have been many other, there have been lots of Homos throughout the years. Now, the question is, how many of those Homos could we have made Homo babies with? Well, could we make Homo babies with the Habilises? I don't know. I mean, probably, though.
Yeah, there was some mixing, right, with the Neanderthals.
I don't know, actually.
Europeans still have, like, some people up to, like, 2% Neanderthal genes in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so I don't really know. When were the first Homo sapiens? When did they arise?
It's considered to have happened around 300,000 years ago, but again, it's so gradual that there's never really actually the first. We just declare it. Like, if you look at a color spectrum, you can't really, you can point to where yellow is, but you can't really point to where yellow begins, because every nanometer step from one wavelength to the other looks indistinguishable from the previous one.
And it's like around 300,000 years ago, that's where it would kind of fall in the time frame with God revealing himself to the people first, Lee. And to me, it kind of, yeah, it does make sense with, so of course they aren't the same as us. And the story in the Bible is greatly metaphorical. In Genesis,
the original sin can't be a metaphor. Otherwise, there's no reason. Like, why was Mary Jesus's mom? Well, especially according to Catholics, because she was conceived without original sin. Okay, why is original sin even a thing? And that's the thing that Jesus comes to fix. Those details have to be true.
Yeah, that's the part that's the underlying truth, while parts like the 7-day creation are very metaphorical.
Yeah, okay, but how did the fall happen? Ostensibly, it's because they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right?
Yeah, but we also see that part as kind of probably didn't really happen. It's more like the first humans were there and they fell into sin already. It's what type of sin it was. Maybe someone killed another one or something like that. They fell into sin. And that's where it kind of started.
Okay, I don't know. I'd have to talk to the pontiff about this, or maybe Trent Horn or something like that. But anyways, I don't know. We're kind of at the point where you're like, well, I don't really know, I guess. So, but that was the only thing I wanted to talk about. So we're probably at the end of what we can do here.
Lastly, I always try to say goodbye on good terms Maybe we can find something we agree on. What do you like to do in your free time?
Woodworking, play video games, read, watch sports, and play volleyball.
I'm studying to be an engineer, so I do a lot of working with metal. I think it's great.
Yeah, metal's okay, but the smell of wood, especially cut wood, if it's a little bit wet, is an amazing smell. The smell of, I remember from shop class, and I recently had a custom exhaust system put on one of my cars, and that smell of cutting metal is just like, God, I hate that smell. It's an interesting smell, but it's like, I could not stand being around that all day.
If I go into like a room where there's welding being done or where people use angle grinders, those smells, I think they're amazing. It smells
Oh, that's weird. Oh, yeah, I play guitar too. That's right. I forgot that I play guitar.
Yeah,
Pretty
but
weird because I do it
anyway,
every day.
thanks for having me.
You're
Thank you
welcome.
for answering.
Get a free book, two free audiobooks, and ad-free videos by becoming a Patreon member.